Is it some new kind of division? Because, well, we say that there is a Dalet Prinot and Keter, and suddenly you have here Gimel Prinot, Olam Shana Nefesh, and one more that is
the mode of existence.
Yeah.
The operating system.
I'm not familiar with
world, year, soul, olam, shana, nefesh. Olam, world, is clear. It's the general structure. Shana, year, is the process we have to go through in order to reach a state. The state that was sealed into it, that it, we have to reach in the final stage. And nefesh is that which exists in the world, the soul. For it, everything exists for it. And the modes of existence of reality is the general force that activates everything. But why? So that through the year and the world to cause the soul to change and to connect the force of reality and reach equivalence with the Creator. Like we see it in this world, we see the world is changing. Like it or not, it's changing. That's it. We don't fit into this world. We're not adapted to it. The world is not adapted to us. We are changing inside. It appears to us as if the world is changing on the outside, according to the systems and the relationships in it. And we are coming to a state where we seemingly out of step with one another. We don't fit. Because of that, we change. We change, the world is changing, and this, the force that is working from within is what activates everything.
Is it somehow parallel to Avaya, or it's a new division?
No, parallel to Avaya, but the Avaya simply absorbs more and more, or rather scrutinizes all the data that it gets from world, Shana, Nefesh, and the modes of existence of reality, these four discernments, Yudke, Vavke, Olam, Shana, Nefesh, you can say it's Malchut, Zeran, Pin, and Bina, and the modes of existence of reality is Chokhmah, and the root of everything is Keter.
He doesn't talk about Keter at all.
What is there to say? We never attain it. We attain only the results of it. We never attain Keter. This is Kutso Shel Yud, the tip of the Yud. It is never revealed, only through the lower discernments that come out of it.
Because from what he wrote, it sounds like Keter is the sustenance of reality.
Okay, it all exists in it, but where do you reveal it? Where is he revealed? Not in him himself, but in that which he activates and operates. Is that clear? This is called from your actions, we shall know you. From this way, in this way we learn the results from the Keter. We seemingly get to know him, but not him. Rather, the results from him. Just like with the Creator, who say, Boe, come and see. You can come, you can see how much you attain. According to the vessels he gave you, that's how much you attain him, not more. We never attain him, only his actions towards us, on us, we attain it. That's why, according to how much we resemble him, from resembling him, we learn him on us. If the Creator is not clothed in the person doesn't understand, doesn't feel, doesn't attain the Creator. Only in this. So? What is it talking about? Everything comes from spirituality, but we grasp it according to our ability, only the last degree, the corporeal degree. Where do we get what we see? Everything we see before us, everyone hears. Everything we see and feel and discover, it's happening where? In our will to receive. Beautiful. The will to receive is operated by the uppermost degrees through the four phases of direct light and Galgalta, Absak, Mabon, and more, until we get here. And inside the matter itself, past the klipot, we are the lowest of, you know, at the lowest point. And that's how it appears to us. So we're inside that system. There is no other system. We're not disconnected. The fact that we call it the imaginary reality, imaginary world, is only with respect to our perception. But it's not that we don't exist or we're not operated by that same upper force that works through all the world's degrees and reached down here, meaning we're all in that system. Except where is the more real perception? How can we rise from this false form, as we say? How do we rise from our world to this world? Not from our world to this world, which is a different reality, and then to Asiya, Yetzirah, and so on and so forth. For this, we have to resemble that force that activates reality. And this we can do with the wisdom of Kabbalah. But here he explains to us about the system that cascades from above down and includes everything. What's so hard to grasp?
So what we see is also Olam Shana Nefesh?
We don't see it. We see what we see. But seemingly, our perception also divides into Olam Shana Nefesh and the conducts of existence of reality, although we don't understand it. But in total, we are working within Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, except our Havaya is a very low one, practically disconnected from the upper Havaya. Also as a seal and imprint, although we're opposite from spirituality, but we're opposite with respect to our perception, our reception, but not that we don't exist. We exist in that same system, but in a way that the ego rules over us. It doesn't let us understand exactly what's going on in the system, but
Rav, he writes that there is no blade of grass below, that there isn't a guard and so on from above.
There is an activation from above down and from below up, even from the lowest person, simplest person, not just a person, from everyone. But other than people, all the rest of the degrees, still vegetative and animate, they respond automatically. The force from above strikes it and tells it grow, whereas from below, a person has the ability to activate himself a certain way towards the upper one, only when he overcomes towards connection with the others. If he wants to connect with others, then he responds more in excess of how he's been activated.
That fortune and guard from above doesn't intervene in what's happening. It's kind of static, allowing the will to receive to do what it wants, but controls it.
Again,
the fortune and guard, it doesn't control a person, meaning it doesn't force him to act, but only observes him.
No, it forces him to do things. compels him, because through pleasure and suffering, nature is activating us.
But if there's a guard, why would there be suffering to begin with? He can direct you towards something good.
So he would grow up by himself and add by himself. That's only towards people, towards humans. But everything else, still vegetative and animate, suffer for men.
Meaning this is only in relation to man himself?
Yes, ultimately, because only man can change himself, and all the rest, still vegetative and animate, suffer. But they are integrated with man, and man absorbs this suffering. He's got his hand in everything, and everyone's hand is in him, and then he can change by connecting to others above what nature compels him to do. Again, it's all about the connection between people, and only humans can do it. All the other parts of nature are either inside his ego, just like the still and in the vegetative, it's a bit more, there's some connection with others. They use the air, they use the soil, they use all these forces, minerals and so on and so forth. The salts that are in the soil, there's a certain connection, but it's on the level of necessity. A bit more is in the animate degree. They already consume one another and procreate, and they use the vegetative degree a certain way. So there's a certain reaction in them, but nevertheless it's not connection between them, rather instinctual connection. For example, for the sake of procreation, man, a human, starts from the place where he is connecting with others in order to procreate spiritually in the form of a soul. And this is the connection is not corporeal like animals, but rather connection in the spirit. If we connect in order to attain the force that activates reality, then you can call them humans. Otherwise, they are on the level of animals. That's it. That's what separates man and beast.
So this is something that we talked about already, that just like Kabbalists, we assume that we start with the hidden, the concealed, and move on to the revealed Torah. It's not like those that understand nothing about the internality that think that you begin with the revealed Torah without understanding anything. You don't understand a single word of what it says there in its real depth. So for you, it's all concealed. Because it's written in such a way that it seems to a person that it's something that he's familiar with, like in this world, that there are different images, and it's pretty clear language, animals, people, the olam shana nefesh, and the essence of reality. It's all clear how it works, and this is how the Torah is written, that it seems to him that it's all open to him, and he understands what it talks about. It's like bring down the Torah from the godly level to the simple corporeal level, by doing so really despising it. And the Torah doesn't talk about that at all, but only about the ways of the revelation of the Creator. Yes, Akok. Why is the Torah divided into worlds? It's not divided in and of itself into anything. Torah is the force and inner mind that exists in the whole of reality. That it comes to you and is seen to you in different forms like this, that are one way and another, and opposite to each other. It's only in order for you to start attaining it that it confuses you, and from the confusion you start understanding. But actually, the Torah itself, it's Ein Sof, endlessness, infinite light. So what does he mean where he says that the Torah is the Torah of Yetzirah, of Atzilut? When the upper light is clothed in the kelim of that degree, Shorish Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Daled, then in each and every degree you have the Torah of that level. The Torah is the abstract upper light that comes and clothes in the Kli that it has created existence from absence. And then the clothing of the Torah in these Kelim, this is where all of life, all of reality, and the ways of its conduct, this is where it comes from, of how all of it elevates itself to the degree of the Torah. The Torah is light, the general, abstract light.
The Torah, or the wisdom of Kabbalah, what does it reveal?
It reveals itself. The wisdom of Kabbalah reveals the wisdom of Kabbalah,
which is the revelation of the Creator.
Which is the revelation of the Creator to the created beings.
And how is that connected to a world, year, soul?
The ways in which we reveal it, because we can't perceive, grasp something that is boundless, that has no discernments. So in these discernments of Olam Shana Nefesh, we attain it. Were there only the upper light and it would not come to us through the four, the Dalet Prinot of Or Yashar, we would never attain it. Because it goes through all of these discernments, and all of these discernments later are included in the Malchut, in the will to receive, in matter, that's included in the upper light through the different ways in which it cascades, and the will to receive is precisely adapted through it to receive the upper light as being created from it. This is something that we gradually attain through the Dalet Prinot of Or Yashar, and in general, we don't attain anything besides the Dalet Prinot of Or Yashar. This is the only connection that there is between the created beings and the Torah, the light, and this higher work.
What's the difference between revealing the Torah and revealing the Creator?
To reveal the Torah is more than revealing the Creator. The Creator is something that is personal. The way I personally reveal Him, my Creator, as if from your actions we know you and so on. However, the Torah is a big general program of the whole of reality that if I reveal, then for sure I reveal Him in a way that is also partial. But still, this is the reality that I reveal in the complete Havaya. Different measures, the Torah of Atzilut, of Yetzirah, and so on, but it's the light that's clothed in the Ten Sefirot. Whereas Kutsha Brichu, here, it's directed at me. I attain Him as my beloved one. The force that is taking care of me. Again, I'm explaining all this in a very primitive form, but just in order to emphasize the discernments, but not the deeper meaning. What?
In our current state, how can we use these ideas you're giving us, that all this is a reality, a cascade?
No, don't get confused there. Just to go over it, to warm the cogwheels in your brain a bit. Everything will clear up out of the attainment, and not that you're trying to somehow connect this, you know, in your mind.
Can we accelerate the attainment in some way?
To draw the reforming light through the connection with the friends.
What about the rest of reality that cascades?
There is no rest of reality. There is only the ten. Everything's simple. The main thing is that we'll feel that we're pushed, that our nose, is pushed into it, that this is how you have to do it.
And so on repeatedly.
And here we have to understand that we have to collect, really collect all the despairs, all the exertions, until the measure, the quota is filled. I'm interested in all of these things. I don't forget about the disappointments. This is my future kli about the despairs.
Finally, a real deficiency forms in him, which he has obtained through exertion in ascents and descents. These ascents and descents leave him with pain, each time at not having been granted divkut with the Creator. Finally, when the cup of labor has been filled sufficiently, it is called a kli. Then the filling of it comes from the Creator, since now he has a real kli.
So is it clear? Meaning our kli is despair. Despair only. Don't write it in different external networks. On social media or whatever, then they'll think, look what an organization they have. They're all immersed in cursing themselves, despair, no good mood, helplessness. Really, madhouse. They're all depressed. Well-known disease. Watch out not to write it this way, but to the contrary. To explain that which is good for beginners. This is not for beginners. Despair is already halfway through. What we're attaining now is halfway through. It is the opening to coming out of the will to receive into the will to bestow. And the children of Israel cried from the work.
Despair appears as something very subtle, because someone who despairs begins to give himself different explanations.
No explanations. If I know that despair is up ahead, that this is the next stop that I have to come to, complete despair, that I kiss despair, because for me it's a springboard, and the children of Israel cried from the work, and what? From this, and their prayer rose to God, the Creator hears the complete despair and opens the door to the next world, to bestow, to spirituality.
How can we cross the situation? Because a person who's despaired, he immediately tries to look for explanations.
You have no support from the ten. We think that the ten quenches the despair. Never ever. It only arranges it, formats it correctly, designs it correctly. Try and see. The correct 10 doesn't decrease the despair. The despair takes on a form, a format, a new format, which is preferable. What am I despaired of? My forces, this deceitful world, this entire deceitful perception of reality, what am I despaired of? That without becoming despaired of it, I can't part with it. I have to be ready to part with it. It's like death. I'm separated from this world, from the current perception of reality, which is my life. There has to be a feeling that it's better to die than to live this way. And it's not my death, it's the...
Despair from his own forces.
What does despair of his own forces mean? I'm an egoist. Everything that I think, want, plan, dream about, doesn't matter. These are all the forms of my ego. Forms of my ego. And by them, I want to attain something. Egoistically. How do I go out into the true perception outside of my ego, to the way it really exists outside of myself, at least to some extent, to start discerning that there is something that exists outside of my, in order to receive, but to come out of it and to be objective? How can I do that? So, to the measure to which I am despaired of my own perception, of my own forces, of being inside my own prison, not being able to come out of it, not being able to really see what's outside. Until I become despaired of it, I can't move into an objective perception of reality. I also don't know what it is. What does it mean that I perceive an objective reality, in the way it is in the eyes of the audience, the way it is in the eyes of the friends, of the Creator? I don't know. How can I clothe in something out of which I will feel reality differently? Suppose all of reality is only waves. There's no still, vegetative, nothing. There's a different still, vegetative, and animate measures of the desire, of the light, like Kabbalists say, something. But not corporeal reality the way I grasp it now. Or I don't mind that I'm perceiving it the way that I am, but the relationships between them, that I'll see that differently, that right now I don't have the ability to see at all because I'm not made for it. Like a baby can't understand what are the grown-ups talking about. What kind of desires, yearnings, crises are they in? Joy, where does that come from? What is it about? He looks at them and he doesn't get it. He has a small, little, limited world that is related to the level that he's on. And for them, it's something huge that he can't see, can't feel. Meaning, he can't feel it in his inner vision. The same with us. So what follows is that to become despaired of our situation is something necessary, because otherwise I will not be able to shift, cross into a new perception of reality. So Balasulam writes that there's no happier moment in man's life than when he is despaired with his own forces, because then he is ready to burst out in prayer and outcry to the Creator that save me, that I see that I'm in a lie, that I have no ability to come out of. And the children of Israel cried from the work, and then you can come out. So it's clear, right? No questions. What?
And why, by despairing, you become more objective?
How will you let go of what you have and replace it with a new perception if you're not despaired? your ego is, suppose, content, satisfied, everything is fine, I feel good, I live my life, I have different kinds of fulfillments, then how can I let all that go? My will to receive will not allow me to. Only when I'm despaired, when I see that in my will to receive that I really have nothing, then I look for a new method of how, a different method for how to fulfill myself, because all in all I'm looking for fulfillment all the time.
But even before the despair, I was dissatisfied. What made me search?
You were unfulfilled, meaning you were despaired already.
Well, not despaired, but with a deficiency.
So you were empty, but still you were searching. How can you fulfill yourself? Now you've reached a state where you're despaired of your own forces, meaning that by your forces you cannot reach fulfillment ever. Doesn't exist. Meaning, if I don't shift to a new method of perceiving reality, then I'm either that really I'm lost, I'm finished, and then it's better to die than keep on living this way. And then I'm ready for the revolution of this new perception of reality.
So when I'm at the height of the deficiency in the search, then I reach the despair of my own strength and something new is born. These two forces collide. What's happening here?
What's happening is happening from above. It's none of your business. Your only business is to put in all of your forces and to just this one.
On the face of it, there's another way out from this false perception of reality to the correct perception of reality, and that is instead of being despaired of the current state, to be attracted as much as possible to the next state.
Why does one stand in the way of the other?
I don't know if it disturbs it, but if it doesn't, why even deal with the despair? Let's just grow, raise the importance of bestowal as much as possible, and in this way we can cross over.
You're right. It's like two kinds of reshimo. Itlapshut and oviyut. The reshimo of itlapshut has to be higher, but still, the kli to come out into is despair. Oviyut. That I have to, I can't stand it. I have to come out of it. The pushing force is what's important. But you're right. Also, Rabash writes about it. We have to talk about both. Also, that so that world is how special it is.
The question is, what do we need the despair as well? What does it add? Why not only with the positive?
There is a method, like you're saying, but it's not the method of Kabbalah, because in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we work with the Oviut, we work with the will to receive. And the discernments in the will to receive, this is what we examine, discern, compare. And that's what's important to us. Meaning, without Oviyut, it's impossible to be without Oviyut, and also Rabash writes about it, that we have to increase the good mood and how special the goal is and unique and everything, that too. But still, all in all, we're the will to receive. So it is all based on despair. Look how many excerpts we have about it. And they're very various. Who else? No.
To connect to what Leo said, it used to be easier to reach despair. Now it's very difficult because there's an impression from the society that extinguishes.
We have to work at it. This is also what he says. We have to be more excited about the next degree. Whereas, as opposed to being in despair of the current situation.
Yeah, but I can't identify with what he's writing because of the impression, the inspiration that comes. It extinguishes every coarseness. It's like this quick overcoming and we continue. There's no accumulation of the despairs. We used to have it, now less.
No, incorrect. It's because you live off the feeling of despair, but you have to bring it from feeling to fact that the will to receive writes it down as an impression, as a given, as a reshimo, and we act out of that.
I can't understand how in the work you can reach a peak moment.
It's if you decide together, then it's already a peak. It's the tip of the feeling.
What do we need to decide on as a society? Certain destination towards which we can grow despair, break our hearts.
You have to talk about it. You can talk about it because in that you scrutinize discernments in your common work, building a kli, common despair, yearning for a common goal, the greatness of the Creator, the spirit of one's own forces, of each and every one, and all the tents together. Scrutinize it. See how much.
Rav, in our Congress that's ahead of us, what state do we need to enter it? State of despair? Or maybe we have to attain it there, state of despair, and pass it quickly?
Why does one stand in the way of the other? It doesn't. It's like the Reshimo of Oviut and the Reshimo of Itlabshut. Being despaired of my own forces and being impressed with the forces of society, or despaired of the forces of society in general, and being impressed, inspired by the Creator being right in front of us, willing to pull us if we demand it of Him. All these things, this is always how they exist. It's the left and the right. They have to be like two lines, and therefore one does not cancel out the other, but to the contrary, each works with the other. That you, it's like turning the pedals on a bicycle. It's like pushing the pedals on a bicycle. One you push forward, the other backward. One forward, the other backward. And that's how you work. Both of them have to work together. Both becoming more despaired of one's own forces and also becoming more inspired with our connection and turning to the Creator. You have to increase the importance of the Creator and the greatness of the Creator and how much closer he becomes, he gets, and the despair of our own forces. These two things have to really be right in front of us. And in the 10, and for all of us together, talk about it and see how much it works. Today, it's truly becoming something very current.
Vlad,
can you say that throughout the Congress, these two states have to be in a peak state for us, both despair and the greatness of the goal and the ability to reach them?
Yes, of course. We will talk about it in the Desert Congress as well. We're going to develop all of this. Those who will be with us virtually or physically, in the Desert Congress, and that's actually over the weekend, Friday, Saturday. We're working on that. Yeah. So, the next topic, Mister, is the greatness of the Creator in our eyes. How to develop it. This needs to be right next to the topic of despair of one's own strength. We have to learn this intermittently and advance like that. Peter.
Is it right to make a comparison of despair from one's forces is like a car that has egoistic fuel and you're accelerating and it travels, the car goes and when the fuel's done?
Why is the fuel's out? Why? I enjoy coming closer to the greatest despair, that I'm despaired of coming out of the state of in order to receive, of being inside my ego, not being able to rise above it. I need to scrutinize the details of all this whole situation, and I'm happy that I am falling more and more into despair of the ability to come out of the ego. That's a sign that my ego is real, that I'm working in a true state with my nature. We are in a very, very significant state. From this point on, we really make the leap to the dead.
Transgression.
So we are missing the address to the Creator, the greatness of addressing the Creator, the greatness of the Creator of salvation. How do we get to all this besides the despair? Why doesn't the despair lead us to a request? That's a workshop question. Go ahead. Why, when we are despaired, we don't turn to the Creator? Both personally and as a group. What's preventing the turning to the Creator? I can fall into despair, I can go through anything, but turning to the Creator with a request, I can't. I read the quotes and identify with them maybe, but I myself don't make the plea, meaning I cannot initiate that my contact with the Creator. So what can I rely on?
May I ask a question? There's already no desire to delay this state and to come to this state of despair and the greatness of salvation even before the Congress? And if so, what is that point of exertion that we have to invest in?
If we don't appreciate the state of despair, we can't come to the end of it. We have to appreciate it. We have to see it as a spiritual state, necessary because we grow out of the ego. We grow from the will to receive. And so the despair is that I cannot attain spirituality out of the ego. It's the true point. And on top of that point of truth, I can now move to in order to bestow. So, despair of my own strength, meaning despair of my ego, of my egoistic nature. And so, this is why it's such an important point. Without it, we can't do. The children of Israel sigh from the work. By ourselves, we can't get out of it. We fall into despair that we can even attain anything. We fall into despair of our own strength, that we can't get out of it. meaning it's such a revolution that we move from serving the ego to serving the Creator, from relating all sorts of goals to the ego and successes to this being despaired from it and really disregarding it and then turning to the Creator. It's that turning point, that transition point from the will to receive to the will to bestow. That's why it is so important. And now, in putting all these efforts, put all our efforts together before the Congress to win this, that's the most important thing between us. To despair from the will to receive together that it can actually do anything for us, to disregard it, to disrespect it in terms of its ability to take us to the exalted spiritual goal. And instead of that, we turn to the will to bestow, we turn to the Creator, and that's what we hang our hopes on. But this contempt towards the will to receive, that we are despaired and we don't want to do anything with it and we just want to rise above it, that we don't throw it away. It doesn't disappear. But we each time when we rise on top of greater and greater despairs from one degree to another, in the will to receive. This is what's called a memory of the Exodus from Egypt. That each time, from over this point of the Exodus from Egypt, we tread forward. We the cry needs to be not over feeling bad, but over what I want. So there is a reshimo of aviyut and a reshimo of hitlapshut. Begins to be. And so, the reshimo of aviyut, there's nothing to cry about it. It's the Creator grows this within us so that we become despaired, so that we see how immersed, how to say it, how imprisoned we are in the will to receive. Yeah, imprisoned. And we cannot run away from it. That's one. Very important. Secondly, that we are able to come out of this prison if the Creator will do it. The Creator can do it. And so these two.
I can give you the force to bestow to them. Why did the Creator do that? In order to shatter them. And to understand the difference between each and every shattered place, between every desired, shattered desire and the light and desire, and then correct it. So that there will be a need for correction. For them to want, from the shattering, to understand what it is to be corrected, what it is to be connected, meaning there's no righteous in the land who has done good and did not sin. Hence, everything comes close here to the recognition of the state that until you're truly incorporated in the shattering, you're not capable of coming to any correction. And we need to be ready for this. We've already been through the shattering in our Reshimot, in our source, but to the revelation of the shattering in us, we have yet to be in that. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. That to really be ready. To really be ready. It's not pleasant. It depends on what approach we approach it with. If I want to despair from my forces, then all the way to the end in a masochistical manner, I want to despair from my forces because without that, I won't need the Creator. Without that, I won't need the society, the group, the ten. I want to despair.